I'm used to a black church tradition, so feel free to shout, amen. Hallelujah!
Yes!
Helper Jesus. Okay. First, I want to say just thank you to Glenn and to Paula, and what an amazing privilege it is to get to work with them and to learn from them. And I've learned so many lessons in the past quarter of just about integrity, about leadership, about honor, and certainly about hospitality. So some of you know I have a high school senior. My daughter is graduating this year and probably going to the East Coast to college. And man, I pray that there is somebody like Glenn and Paula, and I pray that there's somebody like Tina and Brittany and Alicia, and just people that will speak the word of God to my daughter while she's away from home. So I bless our staff in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I can't look at Paula. She's making funny faces at me. I want to talk about developing our friendship with God. And I want to just share some of my experiences and then give you some practical steps on ways to just be closer to God and to have a deeper walk with Him. And, you know, first I want to ask you this. Do you ever think about why you come to Chi Alpha on a Wednesday night and, like, what you're hoping will happen? And do you have an expectation that God's going to do something here? Right? Do you ever come here and just have a prayer, honestly, in your heart? God, I hope that you speak to me tonight. I hope you touch me in some way. I just need a connection with you tonight. And that's what I want to pray. So if you're comfortable, just have your hands open, okay? If you just want to put your hands out and let's pray. All right, let's ask Him to bring light, to bring revelation, to bring the Holy Spirit. Lord God, you are amazing. You rock. You are everything that I need. You are every single thing. You are every answer that we need right now. And so our hands are open. And we just say, Jesus, come on. Come on, give us the word we need from you, the touch that we need from you. Lord, a lot of our day is pretty empty and shallow and tedious, and we need the real thing. We need you. So I pray that you would speak to each person in this room in the exact way that they need to hear you. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen. So just briefly about me, that kind of shapes the way I approach some things in life. I was brought up atheist. And my parents were in science. My dad's a biochemist and comes from a long line of atheists. And he really taught us, so not as a passive belief, but taught us that religion is for mentally inferior people. Okay, it's a really attractive belief there. But I just thought, you know, it's for people who need something to lean on, okay? When I was 16, there was a church in the area that asked my high school if they could give a New Testament to everyone in our high school. And the high school said, oh, sure, here's everybody's name and address. So this girl from my high school comes to my door. Okay, when I'm 16, comes to the door of my house and says, we want to give you a New Testament. And I mocked her. I mocked her to her face. Told her to go to hell, and I cannot believe you read that stuff. Okay, so I hope this encourages you if you ever get that kind of response in your dorm, because I took the New Testament and I read it. Outrageous stuff in that book, if you haven't read it. Outrageous. I will never forget reading John 10:10, where Jesus said, I came so that you might have life and have it to the full. And I knew at that point I did not have life, and I did not have it abundantly to the full. And so, man, every part of me cried out, yes, yes, I want what you have, Jesus. So I was born again. Radically changed, born again. I was kind of this, a little, all right, as a little bit of a part. party person in high school, and I went from kind of being known for that to, yeah, Riley's like, yeah. Okay, so from that to being this total Jesus freak. Okay, so I got one of those cases of New Testaments, like the girl had handed me. I had that in my Dukes of Hazzard car with the 8-track tapes going. And I'm picking up hitchhikers so that I can give them a New Testament and so that I can tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, radical change in my life. I met a woman at my church that started discipling me, passionate about the Lord. Okay, so the defining trait about her was her relationship with Christ. It was the real deal. She met with God every day for like an hour, and it was not a burden or a chore. You know, it wasn't some obligation, like I ought to do this. It was her most cherished time every day. And she would meet with God, and he would speak to her. I mean, like, totally legit. She would get a word, and she'd be like, huh, I don't know why this verse is standing out to me. And then she'd meet somebody in the grocery store that afternoon and find out it was for them. You know, she would get insight, she'd get revelation, she got all kinds of healing and blessing in her life. She got a word that I should stop picking up hitchhikers. I thought that was fair enough, and there was some wisdom in it. A hitchhiker pulled a gun on me one time, so I was like, yeah, I think I maybe should give New Testaments to other people. So there's a quote from C.S. Lewis, and I love how he always says it in the shortest way. He says, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And that just summed it up for me. It's all or nothing. If this is true, it's everything, right? So, and that was the characteristic of Judy, my mentor. Jesus is of infinite importance. And so that's what normal Christianity is to me. It's all out. You hear from God every day. You meet with God every day. All right? That's what it is. So in 1989, and I know that's before most of you existed, I was hired by my denomination to come to Stanford University. I was doing campus ministry in Houston, and I was hired to come to Stanford and start a group. And, man, I was desperate for the Lord, you know? Like, it's intimidating coming here. And especially with a bad Texas accent like I had, you know, and I talk really slow, and everybody's moving really fast here. And I'm desperate for the Lord to just speak to me and to guide me. And I'm like, God, I need a vision and a plan for ministry on this campus. And this is an amazing, strategic place in the world. I need your thoughts and your guidance for what I should do here. And so I'm seeking God. You know, I've built that habit in my life, that every day, just time at his feet. He gave me a word that shaped the rest of the 10 years that I was a chaplain on this campus. He spoke a verse to me that became the plumb line for everything I did, okay? How many of you know that God longs to talk to you about your life's work? That God longs to speak destiny into your life. That he longs to talk to you about your dreams and your hopes. And he wants to give you guidance. He wants to pour into you. It just takes some time, right? Just sitting at his feet and listening. So let me give you my life verse. I hope it's good for you too. It's kind of funny to me because the chapter starts out saying that God has selected a servant for glory and that this servant is going to do this amazing thing of gathering the scattered tribes of Israel. And you're sitting there reading it and you're going, yeah, cool, okay, yeah, that's awesome. And then verse 6 comes. So this is Isaiah 49, verse 6. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation will go to the ends of the earth. And do you see that phrase? It is too small a thing. Come on. It is too small a thing. We all tend toward small and comfortable, right? And what makes sense to us, what's logical. But God says, no, baby, it is too small a thing. It's too small a thing to just be in a little Christian group at Stanford University. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you are meant to be the light of the world? That you're meant to be on this campus to get more than a degree? All right, come on. Yes! 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 I shouldn't have to tell you to tell me yes! It is too small a thing, and that phrase changed my life because I measured everything I did against that to say, is what I'm doing of infinite importance? Is what I'm investing in, does this matter, right? And God spoke that to me because of my time with him, all right? One other, I just have one other, it's so good. I love that this seems to be a life verse for Paul because he quotes it in Acts 13. And Paul quotes the same Isaiah verse, and he's giving a defense to King Agrippa. And you read Acts, and Paul has basically just been dragged from town to town and beat up and stoned and rejected and all of this stuff, right? And he's before the king, King Agrippa. He's giving his defense, and he's explaining why he's done what he's done. And he says, it's because I've been placed as a light for the Gentiles so that your salvation will go to the ends of the earth. And King Agrippa says this, and I don't know what the tone of his voice was, so I don't know what the king's posture was, but his words are to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul replies, and this is what just, I would wish to God that whether in a short time or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. And I read this over Christmas, and I'm just like, wait a minute, you have got to be kidding me. Paul, who is in prison, he's chained and has been rejected and beat up and has had a lot of hardship, okay, is before the king, the richest, most influential man in the area. And he says to him, oh, I wish you had what I have. I mean, does this amaze you? Oh, I wish you had what I have. And are you saying this to anyone? Can you look anyone in the eye in your dorm and say, oh, man, I wish you had what I have because I am rocking it. I am going on with Jesus. I mean, we just have this party going on, you know, like he's feeding my spirit. He's speaking to my mind. I've got downloads of love coming into me. Oh, I wish you had what I have. But, you know, we look at the flesh, right? We look at somebody and go, oh, you know, they've got so much more than I have. You know, like, oh, they've written so many more papers than I have. They're published. I'm not, right? Or we just, oh, they've got more money. Or, oh, she had that great internship this summer, and I worked at In-N-Out, and, you know. We look at the outside. Nailed it. I wish you had what I have. And I pray that that is something you bring before God. Just say, yeah, I want more of you. I want more of you that I will be able to say that and to sense that I have the riches of Christ in me. So one last quick story. So there was a morning, this last year, I'm kind of cozied up on the couch with God and just getting downloads of love. You know, I hope you have experiences like this. Just time where he's just speaking to my spirit. And it's nothing that's on my worry list. There's nothing, you know, that I'm, oh, God, I need an answer on this. I'm just spending time with the Lord and listening to the Spirit of God. And I can't tell you what it sounds like, but I just had a sense, you know what, I should print out Psalm 139. How many of you know Psalm 139? I see that hand. Okay, it's so good. You gotta look at it. So Psalm 139, I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. So I print out a copy of Psalm 139, and that's all I know. That's all I do, and I go on with my day. That weekend, I have to go to a baby shower for my neighbor. And I hate baby showers, but that's just a different story. So, and I feel like God says, print out a copy, you know, take your printed out copy of Psalm 139 and put it in a card for this gal. Now, this gal doesn't know the Lord. Okay, she's a neighbor, and I dig her, and she digs me, and that's enough, you know? So I'm going to this baby shower, and people have all knitted their gifts for her, and it's a very Earth Mother kind of scene. And and I'm not kidding you, there's 30 women sitting in a circle, and there's a lot of chatter, and she's opening gifts. And she opens up my card, and I'll bet you she thought it was some cute little poem that I put in her card, right? And she starts reading it out loud, Psalm 139. She starts reading, and no one in this room has heard the Word of God. You know, I pretty much bet you nobody has heard the Word of God that was in this room. And to hear it spoken. And she starts reading, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and know my heart. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You study my path and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it." And she's just starting to melt, okay? I mean, the room's getting warm. And she gets to the part, she says, "You wove me in my mother's womb." And she's enormous right now. "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And she just starts crying. And the whole room, women are just, their mouth is wide open. And some of them are crying. And see, we're used to the Word of God. It's no big deal to us. But you know what? It is radical, and it is life, okay? And they heard the Word of God, and it just melted. And crying, she says to me, "Would you come and pray for my baby?" And I got up in front of all those women, and I went over, and I put my hand on her head, and I prayed the most amazing blessing on her child. And the whole room is like crying. And you know what? As much as I hate baby showers, it was a God moment. It was a God moment. Do you understand? Like when you don't expect it, but because you've been cozy with God on the couch, you've been just hanging with him, and he tells you something to do, he's ushering you into this awesome adventure with him, right? It's just so fun to go to a baby shower and to have a God moment. And so I have a picture, I don't know if it'll show up very well. At my birthday party, people are drawing pictures, and this is what she drew. She said, "At my baby shower, you blessed my newborn to be with prayer, and you made me cry with joy." Okay, I mean, almost a year later, This is what she remembers because she experienced the presence of God. Isn't that cool? Man, what a fun time it is with God. You know, He just wants to lead us into so many things. And can I ask you guys this? Do you know there are people in your dorm tonight who are desperate for a touch from God? Do you know that? Did you know that there are people in your dorm tonight hungry for God, but you don't know who they are? And what, are you going to go knock on every door? I don't think so. You know, hi, I'm the weird Christian. You know, no, I don't think you're going to do that. But you know what? If you will get your heart with Him, if you'll get your heart with the Lord and listen to Him and ask Him and say, you know, God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to share with today? Who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to pray with? And He will give you secrets. He will tell you that guy who looks so together three doors down is thinking about killing himself. And he is desperate for God. Why don't you go knock on that door? Okay, you got it? Amen? All right, so I've asked Massacre to help me out tonight. You want to come on up? So we met last week, and I was so blessed by some of the things that he talked about, just things that are going on in his life. I really feel like Messiker has put some practice into how do you walk with God on this campus. So he's going to share a few things. Everybody knows? Yeah, everybody know you? All right. So Messiker, tell everybody... just like, what are some of the changes that you feel like have been happening with your prayer life and with your time with God?
So my junior year, I started feeling, I was starting to get tired of feeling down at times. Like, I was tired of having hills and valleys, and I just wanted to like maintain a hill. And it was also, like, during that time, I was also, like, pursuing the gift of tongues, and I was just getting, like, frustrated. And one thing somebody suggested I do was, like, pray out loud, pray with conviction, and, like, normally I'd, like, just pray to myself in my head, like, on my bed, and I'd fall asleep as I was praying. So I started doing it, and I was focusing more on the gift of tongues, but... I just started feeling something in my heart, and it was just powerful. You know what I'm saying? It was joy, it was peace, it's a lot of stuff. And all I was doing was I was declaring God's promises. You know what I'm saying? I was saying basically what I said in my head, but it just started growing and started taking on its own life. I would just go for like a few minutes, and I would just get real hype. You know what I mean? And like go outside, and I'll just be like real hype and like by myself. But it was good, and I would just like walk out my day, and I just like the way I approached people, everything was just different. And it got to the point where I would just do it before I left my room because I liked being that way. Like I just wanted to be charged up on God, you know what I'm saying? Like my thoughts were on Him. It was a different way of living. It was really good, but over time like I started like getting busy and I would just pray less and I would just kind of have those hills and valleys again. I was actually talking to a friend over the summer, and we were just like kicking it, catching up, and I felt convicted for gossiping. We were talking about somebody, they did this and they did that, and their girlfriend like this. And I felt so bad, because Christians don't do that, the body of Christ doesn't do that. So my friend was also a Christian, and I said, you know what we should do? We should pray for these people. I don't know what she did, but I put their names on my phone, and I just started praying for them every night. Like, I was trying to pray anyway. And what it did was, it put me back in a place of prayer. So that night I had a reason to pray now because I had to cover these people, because I committed to them. And over time, like now that I had a prayer list, when I said I'd pray for somebody, I would just add them to the list because I have something, you know what I'm saying? So over time, I would, like, whether it was somebody who would ask for prayer or if it was somebody who I felt needed prayer or whatever, just added them to my list, it would grow. And it got so big that I'd have to break it up over the day. So it forced me to have more quiet times. And it was interesting because, like, as I prayed for people, I would just pray for other things too. Like, it's random. Like, I would just pray for myself. Like, as I prayed for people, I realized what I needed too. And what I realized I needed was, like, at this point, I just pray that Jesus is every, like, is it, yeah, if you're with me and God, like, it's interesting, but, but essentially, it always comes down to, like, Jesus, please walk with these people today, like, never leave, it's, be with them as you're with me, you know what I'm saying, because right now, like, this is happiness, you know what I'm saying, this is heaven, and, like, ultimately, it comes down to this. Like, yes, be healed in Jesus' name. Like, please, be healed so that they can be with you. You know what I mean? So that they can be with you in peace. So it's interesting how God turned, like, my conviction into a great blessing. Because now I love my quiet times. You know what I mean? Like, I was telling Margaret that, like, I understand why Jesus retreated. You know what I mean? Like, when he would give a sermon, but then he would retreat and pray. And it's, I mean, it's, like, the more you do it, the more you need to retreat, you know what I'm saying?
I loved how you said that it used to be that you would just kind of become more and more drained through the day, you know, as you go through your day, just that you felt the energy leaving you. But that when you started doing this, it was like you're on coffee all day long.
Yeah.
And think of the money you could save, right? Prayer is cheaper than Starbucks, so that's good.
And it's joy, you know what I'm saying? It's peace. It's everything that I was missing. It was the way, I mean, we were talking about it earlier too. Like, it's, I don't understand why more people are on it, because it is so, it's free, you know what I'm saying? It's the way Adam was before the fall, you know what I mean? He walked with God always. There was no absence of God, you know what I mean? And, like, something that I'm trying to do more now, too, is infusing God into my conversations. Like, not necessarily in the words I say, but having Him on my mind. So, like, when I'm the third wheel of conversation, like, I'll be praising God, you know what I mean? Or I'll be praying over the conversation or something, you know what I'm saying? So He's always a part of it, you know what I mean? So He's, like, the fourth person in the conversation. And, yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome. Thank you. All right. Woo! Straight up. So I want to tell you something so simple and yet so profound that I think you're going to thank me. And not only that, I think your children are going to thank me. Okay? It's just going to go on and on. And here it is. The secret, I think, of just having that closeness with the Lord and having the depth and the maturity that comes from it, right? The things that we all long for, of the closeness, the adventure, and knowing what God's saying and what He's doing. Here it is. It's simple. Spend a little bit of time with Jesus every day. Whoa! Write it down. Wait, I didn't get that. What? No, wait, what do I do? It's so simple. It's just connect your heart to the heart of God every day. So, I mean, it may be that you get like 15 or 20 minutes, or I don't know how much time you have, but you get time and it's you and your Bible and, you know, a word speaks to you. Psalm 139 blesses you and you're feeding on the word. But, you know, it may be that you have a worship song on your iPod. And for that 5 minutes, you are genuinely singing that in praise to God. And for that 5 minutes, you are digging Him and He is digging you. Right? You're connected. You're in love. You're feeding your inner man. Okay? It may be prayer, like what Messiker is saying, that you're walking to class and you're talking to God. Every day, just connect your heart to the heart of God. Then, once a week, I like Saturday mornings, take a little bit longer time, okay? You've had things happen in a week that you really need to bring before God, okay? Just take a little bit longer time. Take a Saturday morning, just a little bit, that you get more time with Him and you get to get things off that you need to get off of your shoulders and bring before God. Maybe somebody in your dorm has asked you a question about God and it was a total fail. And you realize, man, I don't know Jack, and I better find out something. And so you take that little bit of time to find out, okay? A little bit of time every day, a little bit of longer time on like a Saturday morning. Once a month, you take a mini retreat where you get 2 or 3 hours at the feet of Jesus Christ the King. Okay, and you bring a notebook because He's going to say things that you need to write down. Okay, and you take 2 or 3 hours with God, right? And you look at, it's like, okay, God, well, here's January. And you realize, you know what, there are things that I feel ashamed of that I did this month. And I don't want to carry shame around, so I'm going to give that to Jesus. Right? I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, I need you to take this because I don't want to carry it. It's too heavy. And there are things that your parents say on the phone with you that you need to give to Jesus and just say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to give that to you, God. I'm going to trust you with that, right? Okay? You may find out, oh, in January, there are some things that pissed you off and you're bitter, right? And you need to give that to Him. You don't want to walk around bitter. Okay, people that may have hurt your feelings, may have done things that were wrong. You don't need to carry that. And so you give that to God, and you're searching His Word for, you know, Lord, what do you have to say to me about these things? And you may have big decisions coming up. And you're like, would you talk to me? Would you give me guidance about that? Once a month, take some time to just really get with Him. And then here's the beautiful thing, you guys. Every year, you take a weekend that is a spiritual retreat. Every year, you take a weekend, you and your Bible and a notebook. And let me give you a few pointers. Don't go to Disneyland, right? Don't go to the best. You know, oh, I heard they have great restaurants at this place. I'm going to go there. No, go someplace quiet and secluded. I love to go to Pacific Grove in Monterey, right near Monterey. And I just spend time with God for a whole weekend. I get downloads of what He wants to say. And can I just tell you, you're what, like 19 or 20 years old, right? Can you imagine when you're 40 and you look back at these journals and you see the first time that God gave you revelation about your destiny and your future and the things He wanted to accomplish in your life? Can you imagine you look back in those journals and you see the time that He revealed to you what kind of marriage you were going to have? And who He wanted you to be in that marriage. I mean, can you imagine you look back and you see the time that He showed you, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to instruct you in your spirit. I'm going to instruct you on how to be a parent different than what your parents were. Okay? Oh, this makes me just so excited for you because nothing will change your life more than having this regular time where you meet with God and you feed on His Spirit and you hear the words of God. Okay? Now, I want to take 1 second at this point to just say, if there's a part of your heart right now that says, yeah, I totally want this. You know, like, yes, I totally want to build this in my life. I just want to give you a minute to make that commitment in your heart with God. Go ahead and talk to Him right now. You know, just take a minute. and ask him, you know, Lord, how can I meet with you and be closer to you and have the intimacy with you? I want you to speak to me about my dreams and my hopes. I want you to speak to me about my future. So just settle it with him right now. If it's something that your heart is saying, yeah, I want that. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever been at the place where you had no desire for God? You may be there tonight. You're like, huh. So, right. I mean, I think we all hit that place now and then, and some of us stay there longer than others. But have you ever been at the place where you honestly, you had no hunger for the Word of God? Just no hunger to be closer to Him. Worship just felt like a painful, weird choir rehearsal thing, right? And you just have, I don't know, like she seems pretty emotional about it, but I'm feeling nothing, you know? And so that's when my mind kicks in and I start asking the question, now, why? Does it make sense to you? Why would a born-again Christian, someone who has the Spirit of God living in them, why would they not have a hunger for more of Him? So I think all behavior makes sense, and there are, I have like four reasons I can think of why any Christian would be walking around just going like, I'm like moderately involved with Christ, okay? So reason number one is I don't think you will hunger for something you've never tasted. So, right? Makes sense. You can't be hungry for what you don't know. And it made me think over Christmas break I went to Crepe Fine with Tina and I had this slamming dessert crepe and it had, I think it's called mascarpone? You want pone, okay, hey. Mascarpone. Okay, slamming stuff. And it's not like cheese. It's not like somebody slipped cheese in on your dessert crepe. Okay, it's like fluffy, and I looked it up on recipes.com, and so it's this cheese thing that you put in whipped cream and a teaspoon of vanilla and berries on it, and it's awesome, and I was craving it. So I made it on Christmas morning, and I was the Christmas morning rock star. Thank you. So now my family's craving this stuff. Never craved it because I'd never tasted it. Okay? All right, get this. You will not have a hunger for God if all you've seen are sleepy Sunday morning sermons. Right, am I right? Okay, you're not going to have a hunger for more if all you've seen is pretty lame, okay? And so you got to get out there. You got to get with people like Massacre. You got to get with people who are on fire for God, okay? And just, like, experience. There's more. Do you hunger to see angels?
Well, some of you are like, what? Yes, I want to see angels. Okay, I know people that see angels. I just think that's cool. I want to be in on that, right? But if you've never met anyone who's in that crowd, you're not even going to know you want that. Okay, I want to have the Spirit of God so heavy on me that when I lay hands on somebody, they just fall down. Just lay it out. Okay? I mean, I think that would be a cool thing. I want that. I'm hungry for more of that, right? But you don't know if you don't ever see it, right? You have to get out there. The second thing, you're not going to hunger for something that tastes bad to you. So take me to McDonald's and, oh, I am not hungry, thank you, right? So you're not going to hunger for something that to you is pretty unattractive.
And if all, again, if all you've seen is kind of lame Christians who are like religious, right? They follow the rules, but there's no love. There's no love going on. Then you're not going to hunger for that. Your hunger for God, this is the third one, your hunger for God can be choked out. Jesus said that the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is what? Life and peace. Yeah. So it can be choked out. Your desire for more of God can be choked out. And I mean, I'll tell you guys, I live there. Okay? I have three teenagers in my house. Okay, I've got Pitbull on my iPod. There are so many distractions. You know, there's this horrible music in my house, and there's stupid, I don't know what it's called, Pretty Little Liars, or just, ugh. You know, just stuff that's so discouraging and not cool, okay? And you're surrounded with this. Right, with music, and you have to think about the things that are going in your eyes and in your ears and what you're hearing and what you're around and what people are talking about, and the hunger for God can get choked out. You can be around people who never speak of the Lord in a good way, and it just gets choked out. All right, here's the last one, that if you have no hunger for God. I don't know if you're ever in one of those youth groups where they do weird games and they blindfold people. Yeah? So did you ever do the game where they blindfold some poor soul and they say, okay, we have a bucket of worms and you have to put your hand in this bucket and take one out and eat it. And everybody knows it's spaghetti. Like, you know in your head, that is nutritious, delicious spaghetti that I'm putting my hand in. But because they said, all right, you're going to put your hand in this bucket of worms, and you're blindfolded, and you're going, oh, it's so disgusting. It's not. It's spaghetti. Eat it. Right? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. Jesus helper. Okay. Your behavior changes because of that belief. Are you with me? Your behavior changes. Like, normally you wouldn't care sticking your hand in a bucket full of spaghetti and eating it. You'd be like, rock and roll, that's dinner. But instead, they said it was worms, and now you're all freaked out. You have a belief. Okay, your hunger for God can be blocked if you have believed something about Jesus or about God that's not true. So let's say when you're little and you have some kind of hurt, you have some kind of disappointment, you have some kind of shame, right? And you feel like God just doesn't meet you there. That you're a little kid and you're praying, you know, God help me, and it doesn't seem that God helps you. And the enemy is right there with a lie, little seed that he plants, and he says, yeah, see, when you really need him, God is not available. Okay, you have all kind of little lies and wounds like that. And I don't want to get all psychobabble on you, but I think the enemy comes in at our times of greatest need, where we're hurt, where there's shame, where there's disappointment. You know, your parents are going to break up, and you're a little kid, and you're praying, God, save my parents' marriage. Make it work. And they get a divorce. And the enemy's right there just speaking to your little heart. Yeah, see, God doesn't help when you really need him. Okay, so what happens with that little seed that grows up? Cognitively, you say, oh yes, I believe that Jesus loves me and has a plan for my life, and I want to be close to him. But really? Because do you really want to be close to a God that's somewhere in there in your heart, not in your mind, but in your heart, you think, I don't think he's really there when you need him. Okay, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I just feel like tonight, you guys, I feel like God wants to uncover
some of those misbeliefs about Him and that He's really good and that He really does have good for you. I believe that He wants to increase your hunger and your desire to just receive His love. Right? You may have a misbelief that He wants to just put you to work. And He wants to embarrass you, and He wants to make you not have any fun at all, right? Whatever these kind of things are, you know, that we think religion has put on. But I think He wants to pour love into you right now. So let's just take some time. Let's take some time with God right now, and I think the worship team, you guys can come on up. I believe the Spirit of God wants to do work in our hearts tonight. I think He wants to break down every barrier, anything that would stand between you and God. I think He wants to settle and solidify our commitment to live all out for Him. I think He wants to breathe life into every dead place in our being. He wants to give a revelation of who He is and who we are. And He wants to speak. Jesus Christ the King wants to speak. So, Lord God, we invite You to just speak in our hearts during worship right now. We invite You to fill us. We want to be full of Your Spirit. And we want Your Spirit, which surpasses knowledge, surpasses information. But we ask that Your Spirit would just speak to each one of us during worship right now. And you guys, I'm going to message her up front. If you like what He's doing, humble yourself and go ask Him to pray for you and that you'll have what He's got. Okay? And I'm up front if you want prayer. But just let's do some, get our business right with God tonight and just get our path set of what we want to do. All right? Amen.